been really, actually really blessed the last couple weeks. It seems like the church has been more standing together and praying for each other and maybe crying together, and things that I really treasure. And I think that, that those things are very important. You know, I don't want to minimize a message, a good preaching, and any of that, but I also think it's a lot more than that. I think to come together and to encourage one another in the faith, and to stand with each other through sorrow and joy and hearing testimonies, I think those are very, very important things. And I'm always totally, completely okay if the Holy Spirit leads in such a way that I don't get to share a message. That's quite all right. So, but I feel like I've got something here. It's kind of a continuation of where I was 2 weeks ago when I preached a message about communication. I think Jacob said, well, we need to have a little bit about listening. And I realized, too, that in that message of communication, I didn't spend a lot of time speaking about communicating with our Father in heaven. And so I want to open the message with that, and then we're going to go into a little bit about listening. And so with God's help, we want to go into these things and some of the things that I have learned over the years that God has shown me. And I think they're very important subjects. So before we do that, if you would stand one more time, we'll pray and ask the Holy Spirit to be here with us and bless us. Heavenly Father, thank you for being here with us this day so far. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for a time of worship. We want to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. And I pray a blessing over everyone that's gathered together in this place. May you meet every need. May you make this message work for each one of us, God. Every one of us is in a different place in our journey with you. And we have different needs, different cares, concerns, prayers, and those kind of things, Lord. But we believe that you are almighty and that you care for each one of us as individuals. So may your blessing fall upon each one of us. May you give anointing of the Holy Ghost, Lord. May we hear from heaven. Because if it's just man speaking good things, Lord, we need more than that. We need your Holy Spirit. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So yeah, we did have a good trip. We were very blessed, and I was very, very thankful for the times that we had. Truly, it's a different culture, but it's a good experience, and I'm very blessed with the open doors and just the how my wife and her family, the connection that they have to start with. It was pretty tense, but it's gotten a lot better, and so we were very blessed to receive this invitation and be there. I sat through a wedding for 3 hours and 10 minutes on a hard backless bench. I stayed sitting the entire time while we knelt twice and stood once. But yeah, it was a real blessing, and so I treasure that. I'm not ashamed of where I was, how I was raised, or where I came from, but I'm very thankful of who Jesus made me today. But those people have a lot of things that we could learn from if we were really honest. There's some things that are just incredible that they're able to pull off. But anyway, so it was overall was very good. And we won't be here. Well, I won't. My wife doesn't want to leave now with anticipation of a new granddaughter, but the children and I are going to my brother's daughter's wedding this week, so I won't be here. I'm not sure who will be preaching for you, but it'll either be Reagan or Enos. We'll see. Lord willing. Enos goes, what? But anyways, yeah, Lord willing. We'll do that, and yeah, I don't necessarily like to travel that well, but I think some things are needful to be there. You just know, and I feel like this is that one as well. My brother had 8 children, and this is his last one getting married. So we feel blessed to be able to be going to that as well. Anyways, today's text, I want to get to that and not keep us late. Lord willing, here we have a text here in James 5. We're going to start in verse 16. James 5, verse 16. Oh, and I wanted to welcome several visitors here today. Mark, were you here since before COVID? So you've been quite a few years. Mark and Cheryl used to be here quite a bit, and then COVID hit, and so thank you for coming back and being here. We're excited to get to see a little more of you. Dennis's little brother, thankful for him. And then is it Susanna? I always get you and your sister-in-law, Suzanne, confused. But Susanna, which is also a daughter-in-law of Roman and Mary. So welcome to you. I don't know if I missed missed any visitors, but thank you all for being here today. We treasure your company. If I can find the book of James here, I'm going to get right to that. I always kind of struggle remembering exactly where it is. I guess I should learn the books of the Bible. Here we go. It is directly after Hebrews. James 5, verse 16. James is a really, really precious book of the Bible. There's so much good instruction in this book. And I just picked out a little bit here about prayer. But it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And it says here, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now the line there that I really wanted, the verse that I really wanted to encourage us in is this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now I think sometimes we can get a little bit, I'm not sure what the word is, maybe we take things for granted, maybe we feel like things are going pretty good and we can kind of slack off. I speak for myself, I think that this might be how my own personal life is. I've had seasons when I really felt like, I had a crises, maybe all around me. I really pressed into prayer, and then you kind of get through those things, and then you can kind of withdraw. And I think God wants his children to effectually, fervently pray consistently. We heard in the video or the audio that you shared, we heard about that, to be consistent. Another thing that I've been kind of touched recently, some of us, few brothers and sisters have gathered together. We were going through a book and doing a study there. And one thing that really stood out to me that I realized I'm guilty as charged. My life has a lot of good intentions in it. Like, I just have good intentions. I have good things that I plan on doing, but some of those things I don't act on. That's all they are, is good intentions. And I think he called them ghosts. And those are things that I wanted to do more than be well-intentioned. But I wanted to be act on those intentions that I have in my heart and not just pride myself for, oh, I have these good intentions. I really believe in this, right? But then not do it. So anyway, God wants us to be consistent. He wants us to press into these things. And this quote was from, I think the name, if I have it right, was Jason LeBaxter. He said, men may reject our appeals. They may refuse your message, oppose your arguments, and despise you as a person, but they are helpless against your prayers. I thought that was pretty profound. They may reject everything about you, what you stand for, what you believe in, but they cannot stop your prayers going to heaven. And that really encouraged me. You know what? Sometimes maybe we face something, we want to speak into somebody's life, and it just seems like there's a wall there. They will not hear us. They oppose us with everything. But what about that time that we are on our knees before God interceding for them? They cannot stop that. And I'm very thankful for that. Tim DeLena, he's a minister that I listened to some, and recently he asked a question. I think somebody had asked him that, and he asked this in his message. If someone's eternal destination depended on your prayer life, what does their future look like? If someone's eternal destination depended on you and I praying for them, what does their destination look like? I don't want to guilt trip you, but just let's be real. Let's be real. We all know somebody that is lost. So I want to encourage us to communicate with Almighty God to see our world change and not stop praying, not stop being consistent because of the rejection that you might feel, the scorning that some may have for you, or even you yourself, even us ourselves, maybe not hearing that voice of God, and not feeling like we're hearing those things that we send upward. I would like us to just think about those things. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I get from this passage is that an active and efficient prayer life is praying with consistency and purpose. A righteous man prepares his heart to pray. And I want to look at a few verses in Matthew on that in preparation for prayer. You know, I think that we can, you know, we can go through the motions. We can be maybe ritualistic in prayer and say, you know, there's times like most of us in here probably don't ever start eating without praying. And that's good. But we can become very ritualistic in that as well. And I think sometimes we need to really seek the Lord. You know, going back to this verse, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I want to see a few verses here on preparation. Matthew 5, verse 20. He says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Remember, we're talking about a righteous man praying. So he's saying, if your righteousness isn't beyond the scribes and Pharisees, you're not even going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And of course, our prayers are not going to be heard either. And it says, "You have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee." Okay, so if you come to the altar, you come to God, and you all of a sudden remember that there's a brother that has something against thee. He says, "Leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." I think that's as far as I'll read. So preparing our hearts for effectual, fervent prayer, righteous of a righteous man. You know, let's be sure that we are at peace with our fellow man. Let's not go to prayer angry at this person or that person or unforgiveness towards somebody or bitter about this or that or anything. Let's not go to an altar of prayer in that condition. Let's make sure that our heart is free, that there is an open connection there. In John 9:31, it says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." So, and again, God hears a sinner that calls out to him. This is not the context in which he was saying. Clearly, if a sinner is done with himself and ready to meet Jesus, God does hear it. He delights in hearing them. But I think what he's saying here, that going back to the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, if you have sin in your life that you're too stubborn to bring to the altar and to bring under the blood of Jesus, it could be that your prayers aren't going further than the ceiling of the building that you're in. So if there's things in there, bring them under the blood, bring them to God, and allow him to cleanse you. And he will and does hear you. So let's communicate often with God. Let's be intentional. Let's be consistent. And, you know, the Bible, and I think it's Thessalonians talks, there's a verse that talks about prayer without ceasing, okay? And so, yeah, let's make sure that we do that. Let's not try to separate time in communion with God by, I'm working, okay? No, be constant and intentional in prayer. While you're working, you can commune with God. Whatever you are doing, you can communicate with God, and you can be intentional about that. I think sometimes we don't talk to God enough, and maybe we get into a place where you feel like you wonder, are your prayers even heard? You wonder, does God even really hear me? Because you don't hear an audible voice. You don't see a mountain shake. You don't see a burning bush. You don't, you don't have an outward sign maybe, and you're waiting and waiting and waiting on God, and you start wondering, questioning, does God really hear me? He does hear you. If your heart is pure before God and you know him, you know you've been washed in the blood and you know that you're his child, God hears you. He hears our cry and he cares about everything that we talk to him about. So, but there's one thing that I think that I've missed, and again, this is a learning process for me, is for times to come before God and just come and quiet my heart before God and just listen to him. It's great to talk to him and tell him all the things you want and need and are troubled by, But what about just having that sweet communion where you come and you sit before God in stillness and allow Him to penetrate your heart? Revelation 3:20, another verse that I wanted to share here with us. Revelation 3. I miss having all the youth here. I don't know if we should make a rule that can't that many of them leave at once or not, but I miss having them here. Revelation 3, verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." If any man hear my voice. When do we hear the voice of God? If any man hear my voice. He says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." There is a time for listening to God. And I think this is where I'm shifting over a little bit to the listening part of it. There's a time for listening to God. There's a time for you to make your intercessions and your pleadings and desires for God. And then there's also a time for just listening and being open, having an ear to hear what God has to say to the church and to you as individuals. So what if I don't hear God? Maybe you pray, you speak, you sing, and it's just silence, and you're not real sure, did God hear that? Again, don't let the devil discourage you in this. Don't let him discourage you in continuing fervently in prayer, but allow God to speak to you. Well, you say, how is he going to speak to me if I never hear him? Well, I think one way that he speaks to us is through this. I think God does. In Romans 10:17, it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you willing to take this word and allow God to speak to you? Maybe you're not hearing an audible voice. Maybe you're not seeing a voice coming out of a burning bush. Maybe you're not seeing the veils rent, but God wants to speak to you, and he will speak to you through your word. If you're seeking him for answers, well, you'll read that word prayerfully and fervently and ask him to speak to you by the word. So many in today's world say, God told me this and God told me that. Be careful with that, because if he didn't tell you that, number one, you're telling a lie. Okay, just be real careful how you use that phrase. If God did tell you that, then we want to receive that, and we're not here to make light of that. But I feel like that term is thrown around pretty loosely, where people say, oh, God told me to, you know, whatever. Okay, let's be really careful. I'm not saying God didn't tell you. He hopefully has told you things, and that's good. But let's be careful how lightly we use that phrase. There's even times that people say God told them something that goes against the written word of God. And personally, I don't believe he will do that. Because when we start claiming God's word doesn't mean what it says, and that God told us to just, you know, maybe take that, and it doesn't really mean what it says, and it's not for us today, culturally, or whatever, we're on dangerous ground. We have now lost our focal point, our written word, our safe place that we can come back to and find a safe place for instruction in this generation. We could, and even if men do this, even though maybe 90% of the world's men and women agree on something that goes against the word of God, God's word and his truth still does not change. We agree on that, don't we? And I think that our country is facing this, and you know, Grace was sharing, she's not in here, but Grace was sharing a little bit this morning being disappointed in a jury, and so was I. But I want you to prepare your hearts for something in these end times. As the truth and light and life becomes darker, and truth doesn't become darker, but as darkness is invading hearts, don't expect a right ruling every time when it comes to God's people. Don't even expect that. I mean, you can pray for that, but if you're dishonest and you don't believe that honesty, 100% honesty matters, and the word of God is truth, you're liable to make rulings that are not right. Take, for instance, like most of you probably know how our country's run. There's a lot of people that say, We have to protect democracy. Well, democracy is run in this. Like if a majority vote would run this country, that's a democracy. We'd put something up and, you know, 51% say yes to something, 49% say no. But our country is actually a constitutional republic based on the United States Constitution. Now, it doesn't seem like interpretation of this Constitution should be that hard, but what's happening in this world now, the governments, the extremely divided government, is appointing judges that they feel will interpret the Constitution based on their ideals and values. And it works. You'll get, the one side will basically, they're kind of more ruling in the big government and against the things of God and against all kind of things. The other one, you know, you can depend a little bit, will actually read the Constitution and make rulings based on that. And sometimes there's areas where they need discernment. I'm not going to argue that. But that cannot be us as the church. We don't want to have leanings this way and that way. Well, he interprets the Scripture. No, the Word of God is truth. It stands alone. It does not need your support. It is still truth. It stands alone. But God help us not to take away the, try to take away or try to make it say something that it doesn't to please ourselves or other people. You know, I think too many times in this generation, there's times when people want to make God's word fit their lifestyle. Be very careful with that. God wants you to bring your life in accordance to his word. So even though 90% of us would want to change something that is not biblical truth, does not change it. So if you have the stand alone on truth, stand alone. In Malachi, the word of God is, it's often how I feel that God speaks to us in this generation. Malachi 2, 1 and 2 says, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you do not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart." He said, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, he said he's going to curse your blessings. Let's give glory to the name of God. Let's give him glory and honor and praise. Let's give him glory for the word of God that he left us, for the truth that we can stand on. We don't want that curse of God. It's real, and we don't want it. We don't have to have it in our life, but we have to stay focused and intentional with him. God wants us to listen. He wants us to hear. And if there was ever a time period in your life that we need to be a people that will know and hear his voice, it's today. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow." What are we following? What are we following? Do we know his voice, and are we following him? This is very, very important. And he says in the next verse, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." That's a promise. None of us will perish. None of us will be plucked out of his hand if we know his voice and we follow him. Are you willing to follow? Do you know his voice? Are you listening to the right voices? Are you listening to the right sounds? Are you listening and following him? I think I spoke quite a bit about this 2 weeks ago. I don't want to go down that road again today, but I spoke about fathers and mothers giving clear direction, consistent, clear direction. In 1 Corinthians 14:8 says, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle?" Are we giving clear, concise direction that is consistent to the next generation? And in communication, the need to listen and to hear. It's very hard, if not impossible, for us to have a strong relationship with someone that we never listen to. It just is. It's hard. You know, there's one thing, I don't know who coined this phrase at all, it doesn't matter, but there's one thing like networking. Networking versus relationship. If all I do is network, I probably won't have much for relationships. I have found, like, the business that I'm in, and this is not an ad, but I sell real estate, and I thought, start with, if I would just give out enough cards, I'd probably have enough business. But you know, it doesn't really work that way. What people want with you is a relationship. They want a connection with you. Just a card and you know, say, oh, this is what I do, hi and goodbye, you're networking. That's fine. But I think sometimes we network too much in the church and we don't put enough effort into relationship. We're like, oh, hi, how are you? It's good to see you. How was your week? Oh, good. Goodbye. And we see again each other 4 days later or a week later. We networked. We said hello. We asked how we were doing. But there's really not much can happen in a relationship in that short a time. And I think that if you want to have a relationship, there has to be time that you listen. And husbands, I'm pretty weak at this, but there needs to be time that we need to sit down and just allow the other half to speak and to actually listen. There's so much that can be learned about somebody if I take the time to listen to them. The same as it is with God. If I take the time to sit quiet before God in complete silence and just allow God to speak to me, there's so many things that I believe that I can learn about myself and about God. And the same way, when we allow these things with our wives, our husbands, our children, to just simply sit down and let them talk. I have probably interrupted every one of you in this room at least once in your life. I am so tired of that. It's like, why can't I just shut up and listen? You know why I don't think we do that sometimes? I think it's because we think we've got something important to say. I don't know about you, but we have all spoken with people, and you can kind of watch their eyes. They're not really listening to what you're saying. They're like into their phone or looking across. I've even tried to have two conversations at once already. Ridiculous. Like, I'm listening to you, but I'm also talking to them over here, the height of rudeness. And I'm sorry for that. It's crazy that we can't have the time to just sit down and hear each other sometimes. The things that we would learn is incredible. You know, it's also been said that we're not just responsible for what we say, but we're responsible for what the other people heard. Have you ever said something to somebody and you kind of thought you were clear, but later they said, you never told me that. And you're like, I did too. I told you that. I said it very plainly. What you did is you communicated, you said something, but you did not make your point. That happens to my wife and I frequently. Of course, I think she blames me for, you know, being out in space somewhere. But, you know, it's real. I'm not going to deny that she's wrong. But it's when you try to focus on three different things at once instead of just listening to what somebody's saying. Actually focusing. But it's rude. I've done it. I don't know if you have. But, again, it's those things that are going to build our relationships if we have time to listen. More than networking, but being willing to work on a relationship. Having that time to do meaningful things together, pray together, and having lunch together, things where we actually care about the other person. It's incredible what the power that is in that when it comes to relationship. I am fully convinced that one of the biggest reasons that our relationships fail, especially in the church, is when we do not communicate. It does not work to be upset with each other, to be at odds with each other on how to do things, what we believe, those. It does not work just to walk past each other with an attitude and let each other know that I don't agree with you and I don't care for your attitude and I don't like you, but I'm never willing to sit down and hear and pray. We're not going to have a relationship. Sometimes somebody's speaking, and I can barely wait until you're done before I have something to say. Really? That important? I have got something to say. Obviously, if I want to interject myself and interrupt you, I believe subconsciously that I would never say this, but subconsciously, I think I believe that what I have is more important to be uttered than what you are telling. As a listener, we should not look at her watch, look at her phone, glance around the room, bored. None of you are doing that right now, thank you. try to have another conversation at the same time. We should not start thinking about how we're going to answer before he heard the whole matter. We do that. We're ready to roll. Just get done so I can give you the perfect solution. Start preparing an answer while they're still speaking. Let them finish. Hear the whole matter. This is really especially crucial to us men. We are known as sometimes as the fixer gang. We got answers for everything, don't we? Or the solutions express species. Like, you just name it. We have got answers for you. That's kind of how we're geared. But boy, do we need to learn to sit and listen. We need to listen to hear them out, to hear our children and our wives. Are we that kind of a safe, uninterrupted spot for the young people, our children and our wives, to come and just share their heart, that we can soak it in, we can pray about it? You know what? It's not all wrong if I don't have an answer right then. It's not. You're not a lesser person if you say, thank you for sharing that. You might ask a few questions to make sure that you heard it right. And then you could say, this is hard for me, but I could say, you know what? I will pray about this and get back to you. That is actually kind of important, but it's hard for me not to have an answer right now. But we need to learn to gear ourselves to be a good listener. If we would do that, I think the things that we would learn from our children and our wives, and wives, what you could learn from your husband sometimes is incredible. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I think that's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. He wants us to listen twice as much as we talk. And, you know, so I think that's very important, to be swift to hear and slow to speak. And he says there, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Have you ever given an answer, maybe when you were really mad and stuff flew out of there and you said things that you regretted later? I don't know if all of us have, but I can sure speak for myself. I've done that. And that is really a bad way to go about communicating. Is just having to, right now, wrath. Somehow, I think we in our manly manhood think that that gives us power. Really doesn't. It really is not powerful. Oh, I get it. Maybe sometimes two kids are fighting relentlessly and that tone comes through and they know one more thing and that's it. However, the children should be trained for us to say that in a common, normal voice and know that you mean business. It's when we train them that I have to say their middle name. There are two middle names if you're a lecher. And say it in a really loud voice or you're in trouble. That is, you've trained them to become that way. There's no reason your child cannot be trained to just say their first name and really mean what you say without yelling and screaming. That comes with training. And it comes like, you know, what it is for me, it was laziness. You know, I maybe didn't want to shut my phone off or my newspapers. And so I would say something in a normal voice. I didn't see the preferred response. Then I would yell and expect response. You know what? Don't train your children that you need to yell to get a response. Are you going to yell in church? You know, I mean, it's just not, yeah, that's not the way we want to be. So anyway, I don't want to keep us much longer. I just want to encourage us to be a good listener. And I have one more story here that also Tim shared, and it was a pastor named Tony. I think he was back east somewhere. Some of you, I'm sure, heard this. But it really struck me, because here's a weakness that I have sometimes. I'm just going to be really, really honest. Sometimes when we get together to pray, I have already kind of been this way. Like, if my brother prays, where I'm just like, that's a really long prayer. And I really need to get going. And I can kind of tune you out. And I'm sorry for that. But this is a point in case made why it's important for us to listen to each other when we pray. Number one, you hear what's going on in that brother's heart. When you listen to maybe the agony or the pleading or the hurt or the need in that prayer that your brother and sister is praying. I hadn't thought about this that much until just really recently I realized. I think this story kind of helped me to understand the importance of not thinking that I have more important things to do in my life than to listening to you say a prayer. Anyway, this story, it's quite incredible, actually. This pastor's name was Tony. He was a Baptist man, and he was going to go preach at a Pentecostal church, and he understood, you know, the spiritual things, but he never really had experienced them. Well, before he gets up to preach, about 8 of these Pentecostal-type people took him into the back, and they prayed for him, and they put their hands on his head and just prayed and prayed and prayed. And this guy's finally like, what in the world? Finally, you know, this is so long, and I think his head might even been hurting a little bit from all the pressure and the prayer, and there's going on, and finally the one guy even veers, he started praying for somebody else. And he started praying for this man, and he said his name, what was his name? I think I wrote it down. I didn't want to forget it. Charlie Stofus. He starts praying for Charlie, you know, and he said this morning he's going to leave his wife and his kids, and Lord, you know, can you please meet him down there in that little silver trailer next to the school? And can you please, oh God, he just went on and on about Charlie. And just, this guy's like, you know, just really getting tired. But he listened. He heard the prayer. And finally he's done praying, and the Pastor Tony gets up and shares the message. And later after the message, he's driving home. And all of a sudden he sees a hitchhiker on the turnpike, and shoot, you know, stops, and hey, you want a ride? And sure, the guy's like, I'll take a ride. And so he gets in there, and he goes, what's your name? And he goes, Charlie Stofus. What's the chances? Is our God great or what? He goes, oh, okay. He told him, I think he told him he's a pastor. I forget all the details, but anyway, so he does a U-ey in his car. He turns around and starts heading back the other way, and Charlie goes, where are you going? He goes, I'm taking you home. You're leaving your wife and children. He's like, what? This guy's eyes got pretty big, and he's kind of trying to avoid the preacher now, you know. He's like, yeah, you left your wife and kids. You're running away, so I'm taking you home. And they go driving along there. And the funny thing is, since the brother in his long-winded prayer had prayed exactly where Charlie lived, he drove right to the trailer. And Charlie's just like, what? How did you know I live here? He said, God told me. He did. He told him through a brother's prayer. He told him what he was going to do, and he told him where he lived. The guy drives right up to the trailer, and here comes his wife running out there. She goes, you're home, you're home. And the guy gets out of the car and goes over, and he's talking to his wife, and he said both their eyes just got so big. Like, this guy, God told him where he lived, what he's doing. And he said, anyway, he took that opportunity to get out of the car, and he went up, and at the end of the day led both of them to Jesus. Is our God great or not? And this came from listening to his brother pray. I'm like, Lord, I don't ever want to think I don't have time to listen to my wife, my children, and my brother pray. How many times have we heard God trying to speak to us through a brother and sister? We were too busy, or we thought less of them. We thought they weren't spiritual enough and did not hear God speaking to us. That touched me and it blessed me. Incredible God. I want to sum this up with a few thoughts. As we do life, may the Lord help us to be swift to hear and slow to speak, and allow God to speak to us through his word. Don't listen to revelation when it does not agree with God's word. Be quiet before God. Make it a daily intentional place or time to enter into a secret place to God and hear his voice. Learn to listen to your loved ones. Do more than network. Do more than give them your card and let them know you're dad. Build a relationship. Consider this. What if your loved one's eternal destination is dependent on your prayer time? Where are they going? consider this. That person that you so dearly want to see changed and won to Christ, and you're upset that they're rebuffing you, they don't hear, maybe just stop talking. Maybe just say kind, sweet things. Freak them out. Just affirm that they are somebody that God loves. And maybe just hold off on the preaching. Maybe not, but maybe just stop preaching. They can reject your preaching all day long. They cannot stop the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman. They cannot stop that. I have one more scripture, then I'll take my seat and let Dennis close the service. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth. Maybe you feel like you're poor. Maybe you feel like you're not spiritual. Maybe you don't feel like that Holy Spirit fire is burning as brightly in you as it once did. If you cry out to God out of a pure heart, know that he hears you. Know that he cares. Know that it might not be today that he delivers you from that situation or your loved one, but he hears you, and you are not unnoticed. And find comfort and peace in God's word. And Lord, help us, help me, to be able to listen to you. If you ever need somebody with just an ear and you want to get together with me and all you want me to do is listen, I don't mind you telling me that. I just want to share my heart today. I really don't want to hear what you have to say to this, but I need somebody to pour out to. I want to be that person that will give you that ear without having to give you my lofty solutions to everything. Let's be those that can listen to each other, and maybe we will hear God speak us through that person. God help us. Brother Dennis, you can close.